What is the measure of your worship? And now we're doing a part two, but we talked about it was read in the scripture about the woman that came in with the alabaster box, the perfume, and anointed him. And we talked about how she was a woman who the Bible says she was a sinner. And that she came and she ministered and she worshiped. So what is the measure of your worship? Jesus used the parable of one who owed whatever amount, it can be 50 denarii or whatever that equates to, or 500. The parable showed that regardless of what the amount was, they couldn't pay it. And that was us who have accepted Christ in our life. The price of sin, we could not pay it. There's no good deed we could do. There was no thing, great quest we can do in order to be forgiven of our sins. There was a price that we could not pay.
Yeah.
The Son of God came down, his only begotten Son came down. He gave his life that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. We know that the scripture says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the question is, I'm going to read here. It's the 36th verse, the same chapter, 36th verse down to the 50th verse. But I'm just going to, since Pastor Dow already read that, I'm going to read from the 44th down to the 50th verse, just to bring the context together. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Amen.
Amen.
What is the measure of your worship? What is a measure? A measure is a estimate, or it quantifies the size of the amount of something. What is the measure of your worship? What has God done for you? And to what degree should you worship? That's a hard question, but it's one that has to be answered by each and every one of us. Why? Because if we say we are his, then we should show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we really shouldn't care who's watching.
Amen.
Or who's listening, or what others think. Because who's watching, who's listening, and what others think didn't do anything for our salvation.
Thank you, God.
Nothing. It didn't help us gain peace. It didn't help us understand what love really is. Didn't help us to understand what it means to be lost and now found, to be for sale and lost in our sin and now redeemed. Because the scripture says, if we have been redeemed, we should say so. And that say-so is not just in our mouths. Whatever we do in word or deed, the scripture says that we should do as unto the Lord.
Yes.
So what is the measure of your worship? Jesus addressed Simon the Pharisee, the woman, and all the guests that were there to let them know. We've spoken previously about the custom that it should be when somebody comes to your home that you should honor them by washing their feet. We know everyone wore sandals back then or were barefoot. But when they come in your home, it was a show of respect and honor to wash their feet. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that in today's time, since we have enclosed feet, we have normally sometimes once a year around Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, foot washing services. Mm-hmm. Feet is the last thing you want to do with anybody else's feet. It's tough enough taking care of your own, but when you're talking about somebody else, there's a dialogue that goes on in your head. Where them feet been?
Well.
And can I keep a straight face if I see something with bunions? With all kind of distractions on it. But if you notice, when the woman came in, she wasn't thinking about what his feet looked like or what smelled like or even who was there.
Yeah.
All she knew is that I must go serve to worship. Mm-hmm. I must thank him for what he's done. She didn't even ask Simon, did you do this already? She didn't ask. She walked right in, went to what she was supposed to do. I hope we get to a place in our lives that we do just that as well. Do what the Father has told us to do without hesitation, mm-hmm. without reservation. Go and do what he told us to do. He told us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Mm-hmm. And he told us to serve him. Mm-hmm. To let our light shine in the dark places, in this world, that they may see him and glorify him. And we don't mind doing that because what we're doing is we're showing that gratitude mm-hmm. of what God has done for us. Listen, don't you ever have that quiet time where you realize, you say, wow, what can I do for you, God? Mm. He's already told us, but we want to think, what else can I do? Don't you have that time? It happens normally around the time of Christmas. We're looking at what can I do to be a blessing. What can I give them? What's something special that just see them light up? Well, that's what God is asking us as far as our gratitude for what he's done all throughout the year, all throughout the day. He's asking us, what is the measure? How do you measure what I've done for you? How do you bring forth that same worship? You know, the song says we can't be God-given. No matter how we try.
Amen.
But the thing is, try. Try. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody said, I was going to give you a gift, but you didn't need anything. I don't think you need anything. You said, you could at least try.
That's right.
You didn't say it, but you know, you was thinking that you should at least gave something. Mm-hmm. That would have shown something, but you know, I had good intention. I was going to get you something, but I just knew I couldn't think of anything, so I just didn't get anything. That go over well. Doesn't that go over well? Mm-hmm. A lot of love. A lot of love. Jesus said in the 44th, he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? And now he breaks down and tells him exactly, Simon, the host, the Pharisee, exactly what has transpired from the time he got there to now. Now remember this. Jesus was given the parable before. After the parable comes the explanation. And that's the kind of God we serve. He'll give us parable, give us examples. But now he'll speak plainly. He said, you did not give me any water for my feet. That was the first thing you should have done, Simon. You should have washed my feet. But you know why Simon didn't wash his feet? Because Simon didn't think he had any sins that needed to be forgiven. He didn't have anything. That was that woman. She was a a wretch undone. She came in here, you know how she was. She came in here because she had a lot to be sorry for. But me, I'm a Pharisee. Mm. I'm a teacher. I'm a leader. I don't wash my feet. Other people wash my feet. And sometimes we can have that same, what's the word? Stink attitude. Mm. I know that's not in the scripture. But we can have that attitude when we come to the things of God that I just don't feel like it today. You know, I call it the Almond George syndrome. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we feel like praising God, sometimes we don't, and we'll let him know. I know you saved me from my sin, but right now, that ain't enough. Shout it. Jesus said that she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Mm-hmm. You didn't even kiss me. You didn't even greet me when I came to the door. Not even acknowledge me. Mm-hmm. Come on in. Have a seat. How about you go to someone's house and you come there, knock on the door, and you say, hi, come on in. Open the door and walk away. Come on in, take a seat. Not open the door, wait for you, and then close the door behind you. No gratitude. You should be honored just to be here. Mm. Sometimes we do that with God.
Amen.
Or we tell people, we don't tell God this really. We do, but we don't. We tell them all that. We tell people, you ought to just be glad I'm here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know you tell your boss that. You ought to be glad I came. Knowing that you want that check. But you would say, shoot, you better be glad I came. Amen. But this woman, and I'm at the 45th verse, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. Mm. When do we stop praising God? When do we stop worshiping God? See, that's why sometimes when it's time to pray, we think that I can't pray because I'm driving. I can't pray because I'm not kneeling. Thank you all in advance for not kneeling while you're driving, not trying to close your eyes and bow your head while you're driving. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because sometimes we think that, you know, there's only a certain time. Oh, when you rise in the morning, when you go to bed at night. It's thank you for the day and now I lay me. But there's a lot of stuff going on between. Prayer is a conversation. Worship is a conversation. It's just saying thank you. How many times, how much is too much to thank God?
Yeah.
It may not come out of your mouth. You didn't hear any time or you didn't see any time in the scripture where the woman was saying anything. All she did was go about worship in action. And Jesus, and what we want the Father to do is to acknowledge that is what we're doing in our lives. We are worshiping him. Yes. We are praising him, not with words, not with how much we say and how articulate we are. Show me. I hear what you're saying, but I can't see by seeing what you're doing. You ain't doing that. The song says, talking loud and saying nothing. But we want to be ones who have a measure of worship that the Father takes notice of. That it measures up to the grave condition that we were in. Grave condition. Grave means deadly. Grave means done. There's no hope when it comes to a grave. But we serve a God of the resurrection. He is the resurrection. And he specializes in raising dead things to life. That was me. I know you've been saved all your life, but that was me. I was dead in my sins, thinking I was okay. Thinking I knew enough about Jesus. I went to church now and then, thought it was okay, but realized I wasn't worshiping him. Shoot, I barely knew him. But I thought that was enough because I was close enough to feel like I I'm okay. But God wants us to understand there should be a worship. There should be, it should be measured. It should be quantified. You should be able to quantify, why do you do what you do? Why? Why do you go to church? Why do you praise him? Why? Better yet, for those who know him and those who don't, since he died for the sins of the world, why don't you praise him? Why don't you worship? Jesus said in the 46th verse, you did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. This wasn't just water. Her tears. She bought something that costs something. She bought something that was valuable. Tangible. And this is part that you're probably going to not take a note on, but this when it comes to tithes and offering, those are those tangible things. Going to visit the sick, going to help somebody, going to be used as God said, those are tangible things that are sweet to God. How much does your worship cost you? And what is the cost of your oil or your perfume? What's the cost? 2 Samuel 24 and 21, David talks about, we heard the scripture before, where he wanted to buy this threshing floor. And the man who owned it said, listen, I'm not going to sell it to you, I'm going to give it to you. And David said, I would not sacrifice to God anything that costs me nothing. I will not give God something that costs me nothing. Your worship should cost. It will cost you something. You don't even have to go looking for the, it will cost you something because you know what? You'll remember where you were and what he's done in our lives. You already, the cost has already been paid, but we need to show that in our worship. Were we forgiven a little or forgiven a lot? Understand what happened here. Will you be forgiven? Have you been forgiven a little or forgiven a lot? Either way, there was forgiveness in there. And there should be some measure. It didn't say it wasn't supposed to be any worship. It said it may be reciprocated in a little way or great way, but it will be done. The Father will be worshiped. The Father must be worshiped. Amen? 47 says, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Love little. And that's why it's an individual personal thing. What is the measure of your worship? Your worship. Jesus told her, your sins are forgiven. And then the other guest said among him, who is this who can forgive sins? Jesus said to the woman, he didn't even answer that. He said to the woman, in their presence, your faith has saved you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There would be no worship if there's no faith. Because without faith, there is no weight to your worship. Because if you don't believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that believe in him, then when you go to worship, it has no substance. It has no traction. Because faith is believing that he is. Believing that when I call on his name, he'll answer. Believing that he forgave me. Listen, sometimes we feel like we have not been forgiven. I know that. We feel like I don't think he really forgiven that. Mm-hmm. But when your faith kicks in, when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we have to believe that he hears us and that he has accepted us. Mm-hmm. We have to believe. And our faith will cause us to worship. It will cause us to worship. How great is our God?
Amen.
How great is our God?
Yes.
Not only did he say, your faith has saved you, but this is something we all long for. He says, go in peace. Peace. Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. That's something we look for. The place is still a peace. But there, we know peace if there's no faith in God, the one who is the peace giver. My peace he gives it us. He gives it to us, not as the world gives it, his peace. Mm-hmm. His peace that passes all understanding. That's the peace that keeps our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm closing. Many try to figure out why you praise or worship God like you do. Trying to figure out, is it of God or if it's not? I don't know. You might have a praise dance and say, oh, don't take all that. So that's fine. People can think what they want to think. Don't let anyone but Holy Spirit dictate your worship, because he guides you into all truth and reminds us what God has done, is doing, and what he's going to do. We are blood bought, blood washed. For that reason, we're not ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know it is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1. I'm not ashamed to show forth his praises. I'm not ashamed to show my measure of faith to God, to show him how much I love him.
Yeah.
Whether your worship is little, whether your praise or your worship is a lot, how do you measure your worship? What is the measure of your worship? How do you quantify it? Mm-hmm. How did you get to the place where you're at now? What is the measure of your worship? What God has done.